This is part one in a series which will attempt to articulate the various metaphors by which Chazal, of course based on Psukim, tried to capture the sweep of Torah. I'm preparing the Shirim in advance of Shavuos, which we celebrate Matan Torah. And Chazal developed very rich and intricate systems of metaphors because the experience of Torah is so multi-layered and multi-dimensional. It lies so far beyond human imagination that one metaphor alone isn't sufficient in capturing it. Of course, the most dominant metaphor, the one we're all familiar with, and obviously the starting point, is Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Chazal saw in water, the ubiquitous water, a reference to Torah. And this year we'll try to outline six primary aspects of water which attracted Chazal's attention. There are many, many more minor ones, but these I believe to be the six major thrusts. The two obvious ones, and I'll be very brief about them, I'll try to contain the shir in a brief fashion, is that Torah is the source of life. Kihem chayenu v'arech yameinu. Based on Psukim in Yeshaya, in which Yeshaya almost directly articulates this, Perek Nun Hei, how he called Samei Luchu Lamayim, if you're thirsty, seek water. V'ashein lo kasev, even if you don't have money, Luchu shivru v'cholu, go eat. And Chazal interpret these psukim, well, if you don't have money, how can you afford food? And Chazal interpret this as Yeshaya encouraging people to solicit water through Torah. Torah is the source of life. Shimu shamar elai, listen to my words, v'chlu tov, and that will allow you to drink and, of course, to eat. So because of this pasuk in Yeshaya, the primary association with Torah and water is that water is the source of human life, not just in providing our ingestive needs and our nutritional needs, not really nutritional, but our ingestion, but also our bodies are composed of such a high percentage of water. Famous story of Rabbi Akiva. It's cited by the Gemara in Brachos Samachalef of the fox who witnesses the fish swimming in the water trying to escape the traps. And the fox asks the fish, why don't you just leave the water and you won't be vulnerable or susceptible to the traps? And of course the fish answers, once we leave the water, we sever ourselves from our source of life. Rabbi Akiva was describing this metaphor or this parable while he was in prison for teaching Torah. And he was being questioned, why do you continue to disobey the Roman decrees against Talmud Torah? Why don't you just abandon Talmud Torah or teaching of Torah? And Rabbi Akiva said, because then I'm abandoning life. So this is the obvious and popular first association between Torah and water. The second obvious one is the source of water is from Shemayim, is heavenly. And Torah was delivered from Shemayim. In fact, according to the Rambam, the day of Vav Sivan, the day in which Torah was delivered, was a rainy day. I'm recording this in a very odd day of rain in Israel in early May. Har Sinai, which took place sometime in the early spring, was a day of rain. And that rain represented supernatural flow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will and word. The association between Torah and Shamayim is outlined by Chazal, probably the most condensed version by which Chazal detailed all the various hues and features to this water Torah association is in a medrash in Shir HaShirim, Shir HaShirim Rabbah, in the very beginning, Shir HaShirim Perek Aleph. Interestingly enough, on Psukim that don't really describe the association between Torah and water, but describe Torah as wine and oil. Yishakeni minishikos piyu ki tovim dadecha miyayin. Torah is like wine. L'reach shmonecha tovim shemen turak shemecha. So the medrash in Shir HaShirim takes this opportunity to explain Psukim describing Torah's association and analogy to wine and oil, to elaborate why Torah is first compared to water. So the Medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah writes, Mam mayim min hashamayim, kach Torah min hashamayim. And of course, this image of Torah descending from Shamayim, as water descends from Shamayim, is implicit in Hazinu. In the very beginning of Parshas Hazinu, Hazinu Hashamayim v'adaber v'tishmar etz imrei fi, Hashem is speaking, and his word should descend, Ya'arof kamatar lekhi tizal katalim rasi, kis irim alei desha, v'chir vivim alei esef, kishem Hashem ekra, havogot el elokeinu. So these are the classic two primary reasons the Torah is associated with water. Number one, because it provides life. Number two, because it descends from heaven. But there are four lesser known, but equally important reasons the Torah is associated with water. Number three, because Torah is eternal in the way that water feels eternal. Now, water is not eternal. It's material. It can be eliminated like all material. But the cycles of condensation and evaporation give us that sense of the cyclical and abiding nature of water in ways that we don't immediately sense with the other material in our world. So obviously, all material cycles through, decay and life. So an animal's body is eaten by other animals, and its bones slowly decay, and they become part of the earth and part of the ground, and then that fertilizes trees, and trees are eaten by other animals, or eaten by other animals. So there's certainly a circle, and a cycle of ecological life that all material transitions through. But it's less visible to us. Experientially, we don't sense it because it occurs over a larger period of time. Water, it's visible. Again, it's not visible to the naked eye, but we live through rain, evaporation, storms, clouds. So the cycling nature of water, and also we live through this cycle of water on an agricultural basis. As water is provided, and it seeds the ground, and then it provides plants. And so water has that feel of eternity. Ma mayim chayim li'olam kach tara. Chayim la'olam, it's chayim hila machasikim ba. The Medrash quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Dalet, ki chayim heim lemotzaihem. Torah is the only experience in this world that extends to the next world. There are no mitzvahs in the next world. There's certainly nothing physical or financial. The only experience in this world that we taste in the next world, as Chazal tell us in the Mesifta Derakia, in the Torah centers in Shammai, whatever that's meant to be is Torah. Doesn't mean that activities in this world have no impact on our life in the next world. It just means that experientially nothing from this world is extrapolated or clipped and pasted, cut and pasted, as we would say, in a technological era, aside from Torah. So associating Torah with water connotes its eternity. It also connotes the vastness of Torah. Based on a pasuk in Iov, Arucha me'eretz mida, Urechava, mini yam. Torah here is not compared to water, but to oceans, to a yam. And interestingly enough, the vastness of Torah, which is quoted by later Midrashim as well. I don't know if it's in this Midrash. Right. Ma mayim kishein adam yodea lashut v'hem sofu mitabalea. If you don't know how to swim or navigate a ship in the rough and tumultuous seas, you'll drown. Kach devrei Torah, mein adam yodea lashut v'hem b'lharaz b'hem sofu mitabalea. The vastness, the uncontrollability, the indomitability, the overwhelming, raging oceans that are vast and unlimited and uncontrollable. And those are two different statements, but they're related. They're uncontrollable not just because of the force of the waves, but because of the vastness and the expanse and unlimited spaces which water and large oceans occupy. And even if we could navigate it, at a certain point, they test human will and they test human endurance. Interestingly enough, in the 16th century, Rabbi Yosef Cairo tries to systemize halacha, and he succeeds in homogenizing halacha in a way that halacha wasn't before the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef were written. In earlier centuries, halacha was very, very local and was very context-specific. Jews in Spain behaved one way, Jews in France behaved another way, Jews in Rome behaved a third way based on their local poskim. Now, for various reasons, Yosef Cairo wants to homogenize, centralize, federalize, and ultimately institutionalize and systematize. 2-3 majority. What does the Rush say? What does the Rambam say? What does the Rif say? 2-3 majority. And his primary opponent is Rav Shlomo Luria. Lives in Lublin, the Marshal, the Amshel Shlomo. He writes in his introduction, heated opposition to Rabbi Yosef Cairo, and part of his opposition, it's a manifold layers of opposition, is that Torah is too vast to be contained or packaged into a systemized approach, as if every sugya will conform to the same mathematical formula, no matter which sugya, no matter which locale. But it's vast and it's raging and it's uncontrollable and it can't be subjected to human convention or to human strategies or strategizing. And to connote the vastness of Halacha, he, whose name was Shlomo, calls his primary sefer the Yam Shel Shlomo, invoking the large mikvah that Shlomo built in the Beis HaMikdash, which seems so vast that they called it a Yam. But of course, his allegorical lifting of this phrase reminds us of the Torah being a Yam Shel Torah, or in this case, a Yam Shel Torah, proposed by Shlomo Luria in the 16th century to disagree or to dispute the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Cairo's assertion that Torah could be neatly contained through a human system. So that's the fourth association between Torah and water, the vastness of not water, but of ocean bodies and of seas. The fifth issue, probably better known than some of the others, is the humility with which Torah must be studied. Ma mayim manichim makom gavoa v'holchim makom namuch. Water typically descends from higher locations to lower locations, both in local ecosystems, the melting polar caps at the top mountains, which melt into the streams murmuring beneath, at a more global planetary level, polar ice caps or Arctic Circle, Antarctica, these large ice blocks melting and feeding oceans beneath, closer to the equator. Torah descends from Shamayim, but will inhere best within a low location, a low heart, and lack of person who's lacking presumption, pretension, lacking arrogance or cockiness. Of course, this image of humility as a precondition to Torah, and of course as a consequence of the humbling effect of being exposed to the majestic and unlimited Dvar Hashem, this association between Torah and humility is conveyed by many, many other images, most prominently the selection of Har Sinai, an unassuming and unpretentious mountain as opposed to all the other high and mighty cliffs that offered their candidacy. Hashem's original appearance, not just in Sinai, but in the related Sneh, a small and ugly bush, and many, many other statements of Chazal. But certainly Chazal, both in this Medrash and Shir HaShirim and the Gemara and Tainis Daf Zayin, were sensitive to, again, humility as a moral precondition and intellectual precondition for Talmud Torah, as well as a moral and intellectual experiential outcome of consistent and engaged Talmud Torah. Chazal was certainly sensitive to the humility aspect as drawing or as emanating from the association between Torah and water. And finally, again, not finally, but I think this is factors and features, this is this final major one, is the impact of Torah and the indiscernible, non-discernible, undetectable, slow impact of Torah. Torah seems so vast, so overwhelming, and it can be frustrating, and it can be discouraging. How could a person ever accomplish so much Torah, and how will he acquire it? So Chazal tried to placate our concerns. Just like water descends, teepin, drop by drop, but then ultimately those drops combine to forge large rivers. Kach Tara. Adam lameid beiz halachos hayom, beiz lemachar ad shenase kinachal novea. Person learns halacha here, halacha there, one by one, step by step, in stages, baby steps, as we would say. And then all those drops of water, those drops of Tara, slowly but surely combine to a larger base of knowledge and a larger engagement with Talmud Torah. So it was the nature in which water combines in an aggregate and gradual form to forge larger bodies of water. Chazal saw the metaphor of how Talmud Torah is studied, at least initially, in small installments, but can accumulate into larger forces of Torah knowledge. This final feature was on full display at that very, very revolutionary and historic moment that Rabbi Akiva made the shift from being an ignoramus at the age of 40 to being someone committed to Talmud Torah. He stands by a pool of water and he witnesses the aggregate effect of small drops, and in particular, the aggregate effect upon shaping rocks. And he says, if Torah, or if water is so soft that it can sculpt hard rock, then Torah, which is kashin kibarzo, which is difficult to acquire, alachas kama v'kama sheyichkaku eslibi, that it can carve and it can shape. And this is a week in which I've spoken about Parshas Bechukosai, the term chok, as essentially meaning carving, and Hashem carved out the basis of creation, and hence the word chok means something foundational, just like Hashem's carving out nature and carving out our planet. The Kiva was looking to carve his own personality through Torah, and that also is something which happens in a slow, gradual fashion. Not all at once, it's not immediate in the same way that water aggregates. So it's not just the intellectual accumulation of Torah, but also the experiential impact of Torah. And Rabbi Akiva took this lesson to heart, and he wasn't overwhelmed by the magnitude and the seeming overwhelming prospect of starting to learn Torah when he was 40. He just said, let me just learn Torah day by day. I'll first teach myself the letters, and then words, and then sentences, and slowly but surely change the history of Torah. So this is a very powerful, powerful image, and it highlights the power of water. Water is one of the most powerful, powerful agents in our world. We've seen caverns, canyons, ocean beds sculpted by water, even though it seems so small, and we process it sometimes in drips and drops and drabs, but all those drips accumulate to form larger bodies. And I think sometimes people get discouraged by the enormity and the mass of Torah and how eternal it is and how much of a sea it is. But when you reduce it to drips, as water can be reduced from seas to drops, it should be something more manageable, and we should be more optimistic about our ability both to study Torah and to shape our personas upon Talmud Torah. So these are the six primary ideas of Talmud Torah which Chazal saw in the metaphor between Torah and water. Number one, the source of life. Number two, its heavenly source of Torah. Number three, the eternal nature of Torah captured in the experiential sense that water is eternal. Number four, the breadth and the unmanageability of Torah for human convention. Remember the Yam Shel Shlomo. Number five, the humility that's both necessary for Torah and should be an outcome of serious Talmud Torah. And number six, the slow but powerful impact of aggregating drops one step at a time.